Welcome to IN, a podcast series dedicated to contemporary visual art practices. IN is brought to you by New Local Space, a contemporary art initiative in Kingston, Jamaica, also presenting art residencies, curatorial fellowships, and exhibitions.
This is episode 42 of IN, the fifth in a series
of recordings of the convening of artists and curators that took place in Kingston on Saturday, May
27, 2023.
O'Neill Lawrence is an artist, researcher, writer, and chief curator of the National Gallery of Jamaica. Exhibitions he has curated there include Beyond Fashion in 2018, I Shall Return Again in 2018, Masculinities in 2015, and Seven Women Artists in 2015. His photography and video works have been included in international exhibitions including In Another Place and Here, Art Gallery of Greater Victoria in 2015, the solo show Son of a Champion at Mutual Gallery in Kingston in 2012, and Rockstone and Boot Heel at Rail Artways in Connecticut in 2019. His research interests include race, gender, and sexuality in Caribbean and African diasporic art and visual culture, memory, identity, and hidden archives, and photography as a medium and social vehicle. Lawrence has recently contributed to publications in Small Acts and to the anthology Beyond Homophobia, centering LGBTQ experiences in the Anglophone Caribbean in 2020. Thank you for being here, O'Neill. Can we give him a round of applause?
It was a very interesting invitation. It was a very interesting kind of, I think, dialogue that I had between some emails with Sasha K and hey, Sasha, and also Deborah when I got the invitation to speak today, because to be very honest, one of the main things that was discussed was, you know, community activism and the role that I played in that. I have an immense amount of respect for people who are community activists, who are also artists, and as an institution-bound curator, I often try to think about what my role is in that regard. And if my curatorial, and I'm going to speak mostly more about my curatorial practice than my artistic practice, because I feel that that is the point. To be honest, it's the thing that I think I can relate more easily to the prompts that I received when we were speaking, when Deborah and Sasha K and I were having our dialogue. And for that, I had to go a lot farther back into what I think informed my original curatorial practice. On the screen, you'll see two images. I am a second generation artist. My father, Roy Lawrence, was a sculptor, and he himself was also, I believe, a community activist, because he was one of the founding members of what's known as the Western Jamaican Society of Fine Art. And that's him, and don't worry, he's leaning on his own work at one of their exhibitions. And the thing is, this is the kind of environment that I grew up in. I grew up around artists, I grew up around people who are trying to make a difference within their own community related to arts. Some of them were graduates of the School of Art, quite a few of them were self-trained, and the environment that I grew up in was one where there seemed to be a bit of a disparity between artists on the North Coast and artists on the South Coast, because there was a feeling that there was, I'd say, more of a commercial bent on the North Coast, where artists were producing things for a market, whereas the artists on the South Coast were the serious, quote-unquote, artists. And I recognized very early on that there was, I'll use the word resentment, but that's probably a bit strong. And for me, there was a bit of a disparity. For me, I mean, and these are a lot of the people that I grew up around, who are also artists. And I grew up thinking that there needed to be some kind of change. This is before I even thought about a career as an artist, firstly, I was dissuaded from becoming an artist, despite having a father as an artist, because his exact words were, this is too hard and this is too uncertain and unstable, because my father wanted me to kind of, in his exact words, he wanted me to have a business where I could put up a shingle. You know, lawyer, doctor, something where people come in and pay you money for the things you have learned, full stop. The stress when I said I wanted to become an artist was very was very interesting. But I think for me, it wasn't so much about working within the arts, more about what artists could do for their communities. It wasn't, creating platforms for exhibitions, creating these spaces where there could be these dialogues between things like music, works that people wouldn't necessarily consider in the same categories as fine arts, but also community outreach. Because there's a lot of things in terms of, the center image is them working at Cornwall Regional Hospital doing murals. And can't see Cecil's face because there's a branch in it, but there's a workshop. There's a workshop. Cecil Cooper. The society had a lot of initiatives, both with Barrington Watson and Cecil Cooper as Western-based artists. So for me, the practice of being an artist or someone who facilitated spaces and places for artists was something that you focus on because it was to the betterment of your community. So I naively came to Kingston and thought, hey, let's see if we can create some kind of equity in the artistic community. We all know how easy that is. So, you know, after about 15 years now of having been with the same institution in various capacities, I had to think about, I thought about, am I really a community activist? Am I really somebody who is making the kind of change within my community? And my focus as a curator, as an artist who is a curator, but also somebody who grew up around activists, has always been, to be very honest, about finding that balance where I can, at the same time, privilege artist's vision, care for the artists who are in my care. I know, different words. But also to make sure that I find that balance between the demands of the institution as well as making sure that the people who I am in charge of taking care of, because I think about the word curator as somebody who takes care more so than somebody who arranges things in a space, but taking care of the artists and making sure that they are at the center of what we do. So for me, my curatorial practice at the National Gallery has been about looking at the community that I serve, because I do serve Jamaican artistic community, not North Coast, South Coast, but the Jamaican artistic community. When I became the chief curator, one of my contemporaries on another island said to me, you need to understand that your role is to your community. It's not to make yourself shine. It's not to become the star curator or to just put on these big shows or so on. It is the focus on your communities. So you need to look on the people who you serve and make sure that the projects that you do, the initiatives that you head, are about your community. So for me, creating spaces where you can have various kind of dialogues, particularly difficult dialogues. You know, when we talk about gender, sexuality in Jamaica, when we talk about women's issue, and I'm talking about things like abortion, I'm talking about things like child loss, I'm talking about a lot of the things that most people in society are uncomfortable engaging with. I believe that the space that we are in is meant to create a platform for people to be able to have real, difficult, not always difficult, but conversations, because it is to the benefit of everyone when we recognize that the artistic production of our island is more than just something that is about beautification, about shock, about outward facing, you know, validation, that it's about people who are here and what they need to do to survive the impossibilities that we all have to navigate. And I have to thank Jada and Elio for your presentation, because it actually helped to center me now in what I'm speaking about, because the choreographies of the impossible are things that everyone who is within our very invested but very unique artistic community here and the wider community has to do. We all have to navigate particular spaces and we all have to do particular things to make our way and to make a difference. And I know that there are conversations about whether you can make a difference. And to be very honest, I'm still hanging on to some of the naivety I started with 15 years ago to believe that there can be a difference made with the work that I do. I mean, there are limitations because, as I said, I'm institution bound. This is the government of Jamaica. There are things that an independent space can do that I can't necessarily do. But I still believe that it is my goal and my role to make the space that I am in charge of for the time being, one that artists and also the public can come in and feel comfortable engaging in a variety of conversations. Me, it's one of those instances where the past, the times and the efforts of the people who predate me significantly inform what I do and how I look towards what I'm going to be doing and what my collaborators, what my colleagues, because I'm not the only one. We have another one sitting down right in front of me. Other curators at the National Gallery, because at the end of the day, it's supposed to be about a multiplicity of visions, not just one particular person. And I'm hoping that the work that we do in the future will be able to continue to engage and also expand, interact, and do what we need to do for the wider community. And that's it. Okay. And we're off.
Thanks, Deborah. I'm not sure if it's a question or a comment I have, but thanks for your presentation, Anil. I don't know if we're capturing, though, we're talking about choreography, so we're talking about movement, and I don't know if we're capturing the changes over time. I think as an older person, I've seen a lot of shifts in the art movement. I was here when NLS started. And today, NLS is hosting an international conference. This is incredible. You know what I mean? I used to troll the National Gallery. I don't have the time to do it so often, but I've seen a shift in your programming, a shift towards more inclusiveness. I know you get a lot of criticism. It may not be perfect. Nothing in Jamaica is ever perfect. Everything is always under a bag of constraints. But I don't think we should be too, you know, I think change happens as fast or as slow as we all want to change, you know? And so I think we should be a little more optimistic, to be honest, about, because as a, what do I label myself? Let's not label myself.
No labels.
As someone who has been following the movements over time, I think there are shifts and there are incredible shifts. And I think an international conference at LNS, at NLS is just amazing. Because I was here when it began in that one room. So I think we should be a lot more optimistic and take ownership of the fact that I don't know what the common shift is that we want to create, but it will happen as fast or as slow as we all want to shift. You know?
Lisa, thank you.
Blessings.
Just to respond to you, Lisa, I do agree. It's not that I am necessarily being pessimistic. I'm just trying to be cognizant of the particular constraints, so to speak, not necessarily pessimistic. I do want to point out that a lot of, I think what happens with a lot of institutions is the kind of reticence to experiment. And I think that in experimentation, I think that we can't evolve if we're not experimenting, if we're not trying new things. And I don't think it's ever meant to be perfect. I used to think that, I'm going to be honest, I used to think that early on there was this hard drive that, you know, particularly because we're the National Gallery, that everything has to be like on point, everything has to be just like absolute world standard. If you have not done that, if you've missed one thing, you failed. I'm not that hard on myself or my team at all. for a while now, but because I believe in the power of experimentation, because I believe that our community, and I don't just mean the artistic community, our communities are constantly changing, are constantly evolving, and it is our duty to continue to try and serve them in every space and place that they are in at a particular time. And we might not get it right each time, but we have to keep trying different modes or different modalities or so on in order to try and serve the community. And we learn from everything that we do. I mean, we've learned from every exhibition that we've done, because we take into consideration public feedback very seriously. I mean, true critical engagement is what we live for, so that we can get that, and then we say, okay, now we know how to do what you need us to do. So.
And I think the resistance and the reluctance to experiment is a reflection. It's a reflection of the wider culture of Jamaica, and in fact of the Caribbean. And we have to be honest, it's a community of artists, it's a community of cutting-edge people. But the reality is that most people out there, they don't want their kids to be artists. We talk about reforming the education system, but a lot of people, when their child comes and says, I'm going to be an artist, they're discouraged, especially young men, especially boys, right? So we have to accept that the reluctance and the resistance to experimentation is not about the government or the people out there. It's all of us as a culture have to shift, and it will only happen as quickly as we, as the collective, is comfortable. Yeah? So, kudos.
Thank you.
I do want to say, though, that a lot of that pressure that I think we can all relate to, family pressure to not be in the arts, is that is also a response to feelings of economic impossibility, right? People want they want economic possibility in the future of the family, so they know that the light, etc. There's implied, and a lot of the times not mentioned, privilege in a lot of these places that sort of just accept, right? Accept, but there's also a colonial violence to it, right? Because I mean, that is also a brainwash that we sort of succumb to in this illusion of financial security that we buy into, right? So
why are you trying to remain the same and conservative? The world out there is changing,
right?
So this is where I think art can be powerful in the sense that people are drawn to it, right? But while we try to remain the same in the ways that are not necessarily productive, because where are our indigenous people? I'm excited to see her here today, because I know I'm going to learn something, right? A link to colonialism that is redundant, and it is sort of oppressive, right? But it won't change without action. So this is why I'm excited for Elness. I'm excited about what Anika is doing. And I'm actually here just to soak it all up, because I think it's fascinating, right? So, you know, I think we should be really very positive and excited.
I was more interested to know about how, what's the history behind the Western Jamaica Society group and then Eastern, because I really don't have this analogy.
Very, very briefly, we might have to talk about that later. The Western Jamaica Society of Fine Artists was formed by several self-taught artists, as well as some graduates of the Jamaica School of Art. It was formed in the late 70s, early 80s. My father was one of the founding members, Ted Williams, Lisa Crichton-Watt. Those were the people who formed it, because at the time, and this almost once you left art school and you move back to, say, Montego Bay, it was almost like there's a little bit of a disconnect from the more active, and I can say vibrant, the more active artistic community based in Kingston. So their goal was to create that kind of activity
in Western
Jamaica, but to focus more so on artists in Western Jamaica, to kind of try to bring the same kind of opportunities for exhibition, for artistic creation, for experimentation to Western Jamaica. So it wasn't that there was that Eastern Jamaica Society of Fine Artists. I think they just kind of created that to incorporate the people who were kind of drifting a little bit in that time period. And it's kind of had its ups and downs over the years. It still exists, but it's nothing as vibrant as it was, I say, in the early 80s.
I think also it would be interesting to, at some point later on, address the fact that so many of the people who make up what you say is more active Kingston art community are from Western Jamaica.
There's also that. I mean, because the thing is, it's really about the people who decided to go back.
I
mean, the Kingston artistic community is made up of people from all over Jamaica who have decided to stay in Kingston if they had not already decided to do that with their education.
That's right. So, like, ideas of mobility and migration and being co-opted also can be spoken about more internally in the country itself too, right?
I think every curator feels like they're in a rock and a hard place at some point, irrespective of whether they're in an institution. I think it's always a negotiation. I think the reality of the negotiation is that you have to make decisions about what is important for you to keep and what is less important for you to give on. So for me, I always try to prioritize the things that I think are most important. If there is resistance, I will fight the fight for what I think is the most important. But I have to also look at it from a broader perspective to say that, okay, I may make this fight, I may be able to do this, I may be able to rock the art world here, and then I might not be able to do anything else after that. So the thing is, I also have to always be future focused to think about what I need to do moving forward. So the decisions are sometimes very uncomfortable. They're very hard. I'm not going to pretend that there isn't any kind of intervention at some point. I have been kind of put in positions where I made decisions I wasn't necessarily happy with. I mean, that's just the reality of working in a government institution, because I do have to answer to people above my own position. So I have to always be trying to navigate that, but still trying to focus on what I think is most important. So there are risks that we've taken. They always have to be calculated risks for somebody in my position.
So I'm sorry, I too just joined a government institution. So I'm curious to know, is there a role for stakeholder action as a pushback to that political interference? Is there a role for building communities and stakeholders and organizing them as a pushback to that interference, or is it too strong in our context?
Well, I'm not saying that there's always political interference. Let me just put that out there right now. but I do
maybe
think
not
that
political interference, but the hierarchies, you know, you're reporting to someone, who's reporting to a board, who's reporting to someone.
I do think that if we have more active stakeholder groups that are willing to take risks that we can't, as in advocate for things that we might not necessarily be able to. I genuinely believe, because the thing is, we are very vocal people when we're ready. and I think that in times when people are willing to be vocal, sometimes it doesn't even have to be these really large numbers, but if your voice is loud enough, you will be heard and people will listen.
Hi, I have the last question. I just want to say what a nice experience it is to see and to have yourself here in this kind of easy space of dialoguing with artists, and not just you, but like curators, because this idea of this kind of hierarchy is, I don't know, I feel like it's such a strong thing locally, but just this opportunity is so great to hear your personal background, but and you're so linked to institution as you have been for so long, and you know all of us have a experience with you in this institution, the institution, other people in the institution. If we take the institution away, because it seems like one of the themes in this conference is the idea of dreaming. So if you could step away from the institution, if you were to have the vision for like what you wanted to have happen as a curator locally, National Gallery excluded, like it's not important, what would you want to see? Like what are some of the things that you think are important to have happen?
I actually had a conversation with my father about that, about, funnily enough, on Mother's Day, and what we were discussing, he had an idea about, you know, creating a fund to have for artists to be able to work pressure-free for maybe 6 months. So, you know, your bills would be paid, all of these things would be taken care of, and then you could produce work that then would be exhibited. So, you know, it would be, because he is, as an artist, he was always very much aware of the pressures of having to provide for, you know, pay your bills, basically. So he said that if there was a fund that we could develop, you know, select an artist or two, and then say, okay, you do not have to worry about your bills, you don't have to worry about artists, the different factors of artist production. All you need to do is be in this space and create and be able to just focus primarily on that, because he felt that, I don't think there's any artist in Jamaica who can actually do that at all. I don't know, in the world, really. But if I were to take myself totally out of the institutional space, it would be to develop a residency program, to be perfectly honest. But to have that as a component of it, where, you know, we could provide a safe place and a productive space for artists to be able to produce without some of the constraints that all of us really have experienced.
Thank you, Anil.